Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenech.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenech.
Hello and welcome to the 100th episode of the Tech Guide Podcast. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenech, editor of techguide.com.au. It's been 2 years since we recorded our very first episode, and it was our mission to keep listeners updated and educated about the latest tech news and products. We hope we've done that, and we want to thank all of our regular listeners who have been tuning in every week. It's been our pleasure to bring all this information to you. On this week's show, we're going to kick off with the wash-up from Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference. We're going to look at Ford's new in-car innovations and the new Optus plans with data sharing. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to run our eye over Apple's new CarPlay system that we took a look at Worldwide Developers Conference. We're going to also check out the new Sony Xperia Z2 smartphone and also the new World Cup-themed headphones available in your favorite country's colors. And we're going to wrap it up with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A huge 100th episode to get through, so let's dive straight in. Well, we are back from San Francisco after attending the Worldwide Developers Conference, and there was a lot to take in at the show, apart from, of course, iOS 8 and OS 10 Yosemite. There's plenty of information that Apple shared. There was a lot of engineering sessions too, so developers could meet up and test their code with Apple engineers. There was also a new code, a new code to write apps, and that's called Swift. It was unveiled. It kept really quiet. No one really alluded to any of that happening in the rumors ahead of the conference. Again, there was no hardware announcements as such. So I thought with such a crowded product lineup, I think Eddie Q was quoted a couple of weeks ago as saying that they've got the most exciting lineup of products, pipeline of products in 25 years, was his quote at the Recode conference, I think. And I thought that they may have rolled out some of their hardware ahead of time just to give themselves plenty of space between announcements. I thought the iWatch was the ideal choice to launch for the Worldwide Developers Conference, because you think about it, if they had have launched it at the Worldwide Developers Conference in San Francisco, it would have given developers months to prepare apps for the new device. So Apple could have made quite a song and dance about it, but it was just purely software. And I've gone through the top five features for Apple's iOS 8 and also OS 10 Yosemite. And what I've found is they've created quite a bit of synergy between the two platforms. I think they're converging even closer, not only in terms of design, but also in terms of operation. I think if you're a Mac user, you're going to want to likely own an iPhone if you are running Yosemite, because there are many features that you can enjoy on your iPhone and vice versa. So they're kind of working hand in glove. A lot of people predicted, and I've thought this in the past, that one day we're going to have one operating system no matter what platform we're using. These latest releases from Apple certainly do indicate that we're heading down that path. But the features that stand out for me, obviously Health and HomeKit, which we discussed on last week's program, are going to be pretty important, I think. They're two big areas where technology is going to play a major part. Health is a major area of technology at the moment. You look at the number of activity bands, smartwatches, all these products designed to help gather our information. What I quite like about the Health Kit, the health app on iOS 8, is the emergency information card. How many times, you know, if there is maybe an emergency, a patient, they may not know the people treating him, may not know if there's any, him or her treating him or her. They may not know if there's any kind of allergy. They may not know their blood type. Well, now part of the health app, and I'm running iOS 8 on my iPhone at the moment, it allows you to set up an emergency information card that is accessible in the lock screen. So if you, you know, God forbid that you're unconscious or in need of emergency attention, and they can look at your iPhone and see what blood type you are, what allergies you have, and treat you accordingly. So that's a real innovation, I think, in terms of health. Apart from all the other devices that are hitting the market and the way the app is trying to aggregate all that information, I think information is something that's going to help us monitor our health. So rather than us going to the doctor when we're sick, we can monitor our health and prevent us getting sick. Prevention is much better than a cure. So I think they're moving down the right path there. In the HomeKit area, smart home automation is massive and is going to be a multi-billion dollar industry just here in Australia. No, I'm not talking about the rest of the world. Just here in Australia, the smart home automation market is going to be worth several billion dollars per year. So that's a smart area for Apple to play in. If they can create any type of synergy, any type of standard, any type of protocol in this area, it's only going to benefit them. So as Steve Jobs once famously said, they want to move where the puck is going, not where it's been. That's a reference to ice hockey, for those who don't know what I'm saying. They want to go where we're going, not where we've been. So I think this is a classic example of that type of move. iCloud has also sort of been tying into it fairly closely as well. So being able to access your documents anywhere. Look, it is a lot like Dropbox. It is a lot like Google Drive. In fact, there are many features on iOS 8 that are already available on Android. So for those listeners who are running Android and thinking, yeah, I've already got that on my device, yes, you're right. There are some features that are available on Android at the moment that will be coming soon to iOS. On OS 10, on Yosemite, the design is probably the biggest change, but the ability to also hand off tasks and continue tasks from one device to the next is what I think is going to help tie Apple customers into more devices. So I think, as I mentioned, you're more likely to, if Apple's move here is successful, obviously they want you to use Apple products across the board, and they're encouraging that. They want to tie customers in, make the devices work better together. So your Mac works better with your iPhone and vice versa, your iPad, and so that these tasks, you start a task on one, finish it on another. So that continuity, that ability to seamlessly move from one to the other and still pick up exactly where you left off, I think is going to appeal to many, many users. And of course, you can pick up, you can answer your phone calls on the computer too. That's a feature I'm excited to be try when I do get Yosemite installed on my Mac. So if you want to read more about all of those things that I've written about here, the top five of each of iOS 8 and also OS 10, and you can do that. You can read those top five. I've got some images of also those new features as well. So yeah, check them out at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, Ford is a company that's moving forward in terms of innovation, and they've demonstrated something at Computex, the recent show that was held at Taipei. They've shown a vehicle-to-vehicle communication technology. This is experimental, and the demonstration was held in the downtown Zhongshan district. And what they've tried to create here is not vehicle-to-vehicle. We're not talking driver-to-driver communication here. We're talking car-to-car communication. So one car can send information to another. And that information could include the vehicle speed, where they are, predicted path, so that the car, it can intelligently anticipate what other cars on the road are doing. I think Ford have been pretty active in terms of in-car innovation. So this vehicle communication technology is obviously something that they've been working on for quite a while, and now they've had a chance to showcase that at Computex. So what the system does, the vehicle-to-vehicle communication is a Wi-Fi-based radio system. So that communicates with vehicles that are close by and share real-time information. so that other vehicles are aware of what's happening around them. That information lets the car and also the driver make better decisions. So can you imagine if you have vehicle-to-vehicle communication, it can be used to warn drivers of cars approaching at high speed or a blind corner. There's a car approaching a blind corner or a blind intersection. So this is information that is helping us make better decisions behind the wheel, helping the car become more aware of its surroundings, and also not just reacting to other cars. This communication can also interact with infrastructure. So imagine being able for the cars to communicate the traffic congestion, helping if the cars are all aware of their surroundings, it might help ease that traffic congestion and help sort of reshape how we are handling our vehicles on the road. It'll also tell us about traffic jams and interact with other cars and help give us the best possible route to our destination. Ford, they got their heart in the right place with this. Look, this is not something we're going to see in the next year, in the next months, or maybe even in the next couple of years. But it does point to a future where cars are going to be a bit more intelligent. Drivers are going to be a bit better advised, have more information to use to judge that how they're going to make their on-road decisions. So I think Ford, good on them for putting this out there. The vehicle-to-vehicle communication, look, it's nothing standard by any means. There are other car companies that may have their own interpretation of how this should work, but it is the first step towards creating that standard and helping us be safer on the road, help us make informed decisions, make us drive better, the cars react better. I think it's a good move. If you want to read that story, you can see my story at techguide.com.au. Now, Optus are in the news again with some new plans. Last year they introduced My Plan, which is a new contract, a new plan that allows users to simply bump up to the next data level. So previously what used to happen, once you've reached your data limit, then I think the data is calculated per megabyte, so you're given this massive bill if you've gone over your cap. Now what Optus has done, they've allowed users to simply just move up to the next level. Might cost them $5 in these new plans, which they've just announced. That level is now $10. So it's $10 for a gigabyte. So say you've got a gig that you've used up, you can simply pay, you'll get an extra $10 on your bill to again, you'll get an extra gigabyte to use as well. Now, there are two versions of the My Plan. So there's My Plan Plus, which is the postpaid 24-month contract. But there's also the My Plan Plus SIM only. So BYO device, so you already own your smartphone. And this is a month-to-month contract. Now, one thing that ties them all together, one feature that's available to all of them is new to Optus. It's data sharing. So say you've got your device, your plan, you may have 3-5 gig of data, maybe 2 gig, whatever you've got. You'll now be able to share that data with other devices. So say you may have a 4G-enabled tablet, you may have a second smartphone, I don't know. But all of these devices, you can now link to the one plan, to the one pool of data. Now, what all it is to set it up, a $5 one-off charge per device. I think you can add up to 5 other mobile broadband devices. So we're talking smartphones, tablets, possibly even the 3G, 4G hotspots that can link to laptops or USB modems that connect to a laptop as well. You can then add these to your data pool. So I think what you get is a SIM card that then authorizes that device to tap into your data allowance. And then you can, rather than having multiple bills, you're drawing from the same pool of data. Now, on the SIM-only side, where the data sharing is available, and there is a growing move here for people to buy their smartphones outright and then simply get a SIM-only plan. At the top of the line, they've got a $60 unlimited plan. So you get unlimited calls. You also get unlimited texts and picture messages, MMSs. You also get 5 gigabytes of data. That's a lot of data to consume in 30 days. And that's a month-to-month contract, I should add, too. The similar plan from Telstra, which actually I use. I'm a Telstra customer, and I use their similar all-you-can-eat plan. I brought my own device, and that costs $95 a month. That's $35 extra for the unlimited calls, unlimited texts, and only 3 gigabytes of data. So Optus are giving you an extra 2 gig of data, $35 less, and it allows extra data sharing as well. So, pretty compelling offer there. If you're in, a Optus area where your coverage is good, I think one of the reasons I moved away from Optus was because I didn't have very good coverage in my home. So I needed coverage in at home and in other areas, and Telstra actually suited that. But I'd really love to see Telstra become a little bit more competitive there, maybe bring their prices down slightly. You want to read about all those plans? I've listed the comparisons, all the different plan levels, how much you get in each, how much data, how much texts are all listed there, and how much it's going to cost you per month. You can read that at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. They've just released a new EX6200 high-powered Wi-Fi range extender. We're using our devices in all different kinds of areas in our home, and sometimes the Wi-Fi signal is just not strong enough. That range just isn't there. Well, if a product like this, the AC1200 high-powered Wi-Fi range extender, is just what you need. Netgear can help push your Wi-Fi to every corner of your home with the new 802.11 AC Wi-Fi range extender. Well, 802.11 AC is up to 3 times faster than the current standard and helps get your Wi-Fi to every part of your home. It's perfect for your home theater setup. You can actually connect 5 wired devices to the gigabit Ethernet ports or stream HD video content from USB hard drives connected to the USB 3 port. With a powerful dual-core processor on board and high-power amplifiers, you'll have Wi-Fi wherever you want it throughout your home. Get the EX6200, the fastest AC Wi-Fi range extender available from Netgear. You can check it out at netgear.com.au/max Wi-Fi.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennick.
Tech Guide.
I thought I'd kick off the reviews on this 100th episode of Tech Guide with CarPlay. This is something I had a demonstration. I was given a demonstration at the Worldwide Developers Conference. CarPlay, not quite in the market yet. The aftermarket products are coming, I think, later this month. So and also there's a range of car manufacturers who've also indicated that their newest cars, their 2015 range, possibly even 2014 range, will be CarPlay compatible. Now, to be CarPlay compatible, the vehicle needs to be able to interface with the iPhone 5 and above, running iOS 7.1. So companies like Ford, Jaguar, Kia, Ferrari, Mercedes-Benz, Honda, Hyundai, Volvo, Mitsubishi, Land Rover, Jaguar, Kia, Nissan, Peugeot, Subaru, Suzuki, Toyota, plenty there. They are going to have vehicles that are going to be CarPlay compatible in the next year and beyond. So if you are in the market for a new car, you can actually get a CarPlay compatible device if you use an iPhone 5 and above. Or for those who have just bought a car or don't have any intention of buying a new car, there is an aftermarket solution that we have spoken about on previous episodes of Tech Guide that run the CarPlay system. So rather than you having to buy the new car, you can simply install the Pioneer system. I think there's going to be Alpine systems as well. But we tested out a Pioneer AVIC system. And just to demonstrate that it is possible to put this aftermarket solution in any car, we had a demonstration in a Ford 1965 Mustang. So that's a 49-year-old car that is running Apple's CarPlay system. Now, what is CarPlay? CarPlay allows you to use your iPhone's main features safely and easily behind the wheels. And the features I'm talking about are your phone, your music, messages, mapping, podcasts, those sorts of things that replicate your iPhone screen on the screen within the vehicle. So it makes it easier, transfers your information, your music, the latest calls you've made are right there for you to use. So if you want to make a phone call, for example, you simply tap on the icon on the screen. It'll turn the volume of your music down and allow you to make your call. Everything is processed through the screen, so you're not touching your phone at all. In fact, once you connect your phone to the system with a lightning cable, you can then put it away because you won't have to touch it. Well, it's illegal to lay your hand on it. So you can put that into your glove box or wherever it needs to go. It can go out of sight. Then you can access your messages. Now, you're not going to actually read your messages. Siri is going to read them to you. So that's pretty handy. In terms of mapping, of course, that's how you find your way around with GPS. What impressed me was that a lot of the recent addresses that you looked up on Maps, the Apple app, were at the top of the list. Even addresses that were mentioned in emails were up high and displayed as a choice, a choice of destination to navigate towards. Music, of course, that's a great feature to have at your fingertips. So not only your own music on board, you may have streaming music services, you may have iTunes radio. They're all there for you to that will then be played through your car's stereo system. Similarly to podcasts, I know there's a lot of Tech Guide listeners who like to listen to the podcast behind the wheel while they're driving. Well, CarPlay will make that even easier. In fact, if you take a look at my Tech Guide story about CarPlay, you'll see an episode of Tech Guide playing on the system. You see on the screen Tech Guide episode 83 playing on the screen and, of course, playing through the car's stereo system. So exciting times there if you're an iPhone user and you are thinking of buying a new car or want to install the CarPlay system. I've given it a full rundown and you can read that full story at techguide.com.au. We'd love to have your feedback on that, whether you're interested in this. Check out the car too, the Mustang, the 1965 Mustang, a thing of beauty. If you're into cars and you want to read more about CarPlay, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Our next review is the Sony Xperia Z2 waterproof Android smartphone. Now, the Z2 is obviously a follow-up from the Z1. Doesn't look much different to the Z1. I think it's a little bit thinner, may have a slightly bigger screen. It's got a 5.2-inch screen. And a really nice screen too. It uses Sony's tri-luminous display. All displays on Sony products are pretty impressive. They've got pretty good technology behind there, and the screen looks magnificent. So whether you're watching a movie, looking at your photos, using apps, browsing the web, it does look pretty good on a Sony device, especially the Xperia Z2, and that continues that tradition. The design is pretty similar, as I mentioned. It weighs 163 grams. It's just 8.2 millimeters thick. Feels really nice in your hand. Feels exudes a bit of quality, so you know that it's been well built. And it's also pretty sturdy. It's dustproof. It's also waterproof. It retains that ability. You can use your Z2 in the bath or in the shower. If you spill a drink on it, not to worry. It is fully waterproof. Has a high IP rating. Top has got the 3.5mm jack. The sides have got the buttons. There's also some doors, watertight doors, I should add, that can that where the ports for the micro USB ports. There's a micro SD card slot, and there's also the SIM card slot that are protected behind those watertight doors. Make sure they're closed securely. If they're open and you dunk this thing, it's going to be ruined. But the product, I think, the highlight, the standout feature to me, apart from the waterproof feature, is the camera. This is an excellent camera. It's got a 20.7 megapixel camera on board, and I've included some shots that I took with the camera, including pictures of my two Dalmatians. You'll see that on my story. But this camera, I think, is a standout feature. It's probably going to appeal. This phone's going to appeal to those people who love to use their camera, their smartphone as their camera. So this camera is so good. You don't need to have a dedicated compact digital camera. This is better than that. And and it's in your pocket. It's also your phone. It does all those other things as well. And the images it produces are excellent. It's got the Exmor RS sensor, so that creates some pretty lifelike pictures, plenty of detail. It's got a 27mm wide-angle G lens as well. It's also got a Bions for mobile image processing engine, so that gets the color right, the exposure right, the white balance. So bring all these things together, the sensor, the lens, and the image processing engine, and you've got an excellent result. But it doesn't just shoot stills, it also shoots video. And not just any video, it shoots 4K video. So it's four times the resolution of full HD. You can still shoot full HD if you want. You can also opt for 4K. What 4K does, though, it does take up a lot of room. So you need a memory card to capture 4K, because you've got to remember, four times the resolution of HD video means probably four times the data capacity for shooting the same length film. So best to pop a micro SD card in there. And if you've got a 4K TV or ultra high definition TV, you'll be amazed at the detail, at the results. So if it gives you the ability to create your own 4K content to view on your 4K TV. Not a lot of 4K content out there at the moment, but this gives you the ability to create your own. Now, I mentioned it's waterproof. It's waterproof actually to a depth of 1.5 meters, and you can actually use it underwater. You can actually shoot, you can use the camera while it is submerged, but you can only do that in fresh water and for up to 30 minutes. Under the hood, Qualcomm Snapdragon 2.3 gigahertz quad-core 801 processor. It's got 3 gig of RAM, which is pretty handy as well. Excellent battery life. I think the system's been optimized to make use of, to turn features off when they're not in use, so it's not impinging on the battery. We got easily a day, nearly a day and a half out of one charge. It's got an excellent battery stamina mode that helps budget your power very, very well. The Sony Xperia Z2, available now. It's priced at $759. And I've done a full review. You can check that out at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide, keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, the World Cup is literally just around the corner, and fans can now listen to their games or their music using headphones that come in their favourite country's colours. These are the Co-Loud headphones. They're made by Amber Technology, and they're priced only at $49. So don't expect them to be Bose quality here, but I think for your money, you get a product that punches well above its weight. They're very lightweight. In fact, they only weigh 139 grams, and they come in six of the world's leading football country colours. We're talking Brazil, Argentina, Germany, Mexico, Holland, and England. Look, the Australian colours are green and gold, so I think if you get the Brazil model, you'll be able to get green and gold as well. You can just say that it's an Australian colours, but it is actually Brazil. Australia didn't make the top six there. The Amber Technology is trying to appeal to, obviously, a wide audience. And the headphones themselves are actually decent quality. As I said, they do sound pretty good. They've got 40mm dynamic drivers. There's closed construction, so you're not too much sound is going to escape. Provides a decent experience. The headphones are actually called the Boom Football Edition. They're pretty comfortable to wear too, and as I said, they're fairly lightweight, so you can wear them for quite a long time, and it's not going to be too uncomfortable. They also include a patent pending Zound Lasso, so it gives you a flat cable, so you get a tangle free solution there. It's also got a built in microphone and remote, so if you get a call on your mobile, you can actually answer it. It's got a 3-click microphone, so it's pretty good value, and all that for $49. You can read about more about the Co-Loud headphones from Amber Technology, priced at $49. You can read about that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
In this week's Tech Guide Help Desk, I thought we'd talk about a technology that many customers may have already seen. If you've ever been in JB Hi-Fi or any place selling Blu-ray and DVD, you may have heard of digital ultraviolet. The latest DVDs and Blu-rays actually have this logo on top of the cover. Digital Ultraviolet gives you a digital version of that movie in the cloud. Now, it's not a digital download. Digital download before meant you had to download it into iTunes and then you could play it on your computer, or if you had Apple TV, you could stream it on your TV. Digital Ultraviolet is actually your movie collection in the cloud. So all the movies we buy, or you know, either physical media or online, we can now have a digital ultraviolet copy in the cloud. So imagine you look at your shelf full of movies and imagine that replicated in the cloud. So our movie collection, and I've got a large movie collection myself, you can't take that with you everywhere. But if you do have a version of it in the cloud with digital ultraviolet, you may feel like you may be at someone's house or overseas or somewhere else out and about with your device. You might feel like watching a movie that you already own. Traditionally, you'd have to come home, get the movie, watch it on your TV. But now with digital ultraviolet, you can access your library online in the cloud and either stream it or download it to your device so you can watch it wherever you want. And you can watch it on your smartphone, your tablet, laptop, computer, even smart TVs allow you to view digital ultraviolet. So say you went over to a mate's house and you wanted to watch a movie that you own, you can access it from the cloud using digital ultraviolet. Australia is actually the second highest adoption rate per capita, only after a year after launch, behind the US. There's already more than 160,000 digital ultraviolet account holders in Australia and New Zealand. So what happens when you buy your movie? A little slip of paper comes, if it is digital ultraviolet, a little slip of paper comes inside with a code. So what you do, you head over to one of several sites that allow you to A, set up an account. So once you've got an account, you can then redeem that code at any of those sites, and I've listed them on Tech Guide on my story. You can then have that movie in your cloud library to stream or download. So it is giving you a digital copy of what you've got, a cloud copy of what you've got. So you think about it. If you've got, say, a hard drive full of movies, if something happens to that hard drive, you've lost all your movies. Getting content from your computer to your smartphone or to your TV may be a little difficult. So this also gives you the choice of streaming it to the device of your choice. So there are several advantages for having digital ultraviolet. I've written all about it at techguide.com.au if you want to check it out, and I've got all the addresses of the sites that allow you to redeem your codes, and there's a step-by-step instruction on how you can get involved using digital ultraviolet. And that's our show, show 100 for another week. You can read more about everything we've spoken about on the show at techguide.com.au. A special thanks, too, to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all.